بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر وذكر الله كثيرا. صدق الله العظيم. Respected friends and elders, I first apologize for the late show. And whatever time is left now for the bayan, inshallah, we'll try and share what will be of benefit for myself, inshallah, and for yourself. Mawlana was mentioning how the coming of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought about a complete change in the dunya. In the time of Sahaba, or the pre-Islamic days, the amount of degeneration and rot that set into society was maybe not preceded before that. The amount of wrong, the amount of vice, haram, stealing, looting. Looting and stealing, that was a way of life. That's how they used to live. Whoever could steal more, he was the one who would survive. If we look today also in the dunya, a lot of those wrongs, a lot of those evils and vices have resurfaced in a different disguise. Today too, if a person can steal unnoticed, then he will steal. Today too, somebody who is in a position of authority is prepared to usurp his authority. Today too, a person who has access to the accounts of the company is manipulating the accounts, etc. Similarly, breaking off of ties and fighting wars, etc. Today also we find so much of chaos in the dunya. When it comes to them, family planning, today there's a sophisticated word, a modern word, family planning. At that time also, when they would kill their offspring, it was for family planning because they couldn't afford it. They would bury their daughters alive because of humiliation, and their sons also they used to bury. That was because of the fear of poverty, for family planning. So a lot of the wrongs that were taking place in that zamana are found today as well, but in a different disguise. Ja'far radiallahu anhu, when he was summoned to the court of Najashi, he also painted a picture about the life of the Arabs before the coming of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he said, أيها الملك إنا كنا شر قوم, we were the worst of people. نأكل الجيفة ونعبد الأصنام, we used to eat carrion. Animals that would die a natural death, we used to eat that also. Today, halal, haram, there's so much of contamination, so much of haram out in society, that a person has to lead a life of a great muttaqi to abstain. Colonel Amiruddin Sahib, rahimahullah, was famous, and he addressed us in his masjid several times also before, a great da'i ilallah. And he lived in North America. He would say, and this was at that time in the early 2000s, person who lives, a muttaqi who lives in America at that time, person who watches what he eats and he checks the ingredients, etc., then within 1 year, he would have consumed one pig. A person who was a muttaqi, meaning a person who was watching and being careful. Today, the same fitnas that are in any part of the globe are mirrored every other corner of the world. So it's not only a fitna that is restricted to one part of the world, but these fitnas have covered and engulfed the entire globe. So halal, haram also, today, how particular are we? When there's so much more contamination, we are less on guard, unfortunately. وَأَكَلَ الْقَوِيُّ مِنَّ الضَّعِيفِ, the strong among us used to consume, in other words, used to overpower the weak. Today too, those that got more military strength can overrule whoever else is around them. Today too, that person who has authority, whether it be on a smaller level at home, in the business, in society, in the community, then he overrides the others, whether what he is doing is right or wrong, that's irrespective to him nowadays. So the wrongs that were prevalent at that time are prevalent today too. At that time, what was the solution? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Mawlana Abu al-Hasan Ali Nadwi rahimahullah is a great alim of the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and history of Islam, among many other branches, but he wrote extensively on these two topics. So in his famous book that he studied in the Darul Ulooms also, he starts off the description of the prophetic or pre-prophetic era with the words talatil fatra. The intermission was very long. In other words, from the passing of the zamana of Isa alayhi salam's ascension into the heavens and the coming of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there was no other Nabi that came in between. So that was a lengthy period of intermission. وَانْتَشَرَ الظَّلَامُ فِي الْأَرْضِ And darkness spread on earth. This is how he starts off. And then comes the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He highlights also other wrongs that were taking place. But it was the coming of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used to dispel the darkness not only from Arabia, but from far and wide throughout the world. And today too, that is the only solution. The way of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, adopting the sunnah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, like it took man out at that time from the depths of jahiliyat, today too it will take man out from the depths of our ignorance and our vice and wrong and sin, etc. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam was sent, so to say, insan ko insan banane ke liye, to come and make a human out of a human. Because today, if you look around us, the frightening incidents we hear, the occurrences, the crime, the nature of the crimes are such that man, you begin to think, is this even humane to do something like this? Which insan can do a thing like this? Let alone be a Muslim or be a relative to that person who is being wronged. So insan ko insan banane ke liye aaya hai. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to teach us how to live our lives and be proper humans. That is in essence the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is the only way that will take us out of whatever issues a person is facing. Whether it be issues on a social level, whether it be issues on a national level or international, or on a global scale, whatever the problems of the ummah today, the solution for that is in the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like we saw in history, like we saw in the time of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, that whatever were their issues, when Islam came into their lives, when the sunnah was revived, then alhamdulillah, they became the beacons of hidayat for people throughout the globe. And the sad part is, respected friends and elders, the more we progressing in time, the further we are going away from the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have the solution in our hands. We have the key to all these problems in our hands. But to adopt the way of the West, to adopt the ways of the non-Muslim, to ape at everything else besides the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that has become the norm, unfortunately. In the meanwhile, Imam Malik rahimahullah, when painting this picture of the importance of the sunnah, so beautifully he said, As-sunnatu safinatu Nuh. Understand the sunnah as the ark of Nuh alayhi salam. The ark of Nuh alayhi salam came into use and was built because of the storm in that zamana, in that time. That was a time when the entire earth was washed. Everything was destroyed. The water came from the skies also. Water came out from the ground also. And there was never such a flood on earth. At that time, it was the Safina to Nuh, the one simple ark of Nuh alayhi salam. Whoever rode on it was saved. So Imam Malik rahimahullah, when he gives this example, is so to say to caution us that we are also in this ocean. We are also surrounded by all these waves of fitna and everything else that is to take us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like in the time of Nuh alayhi salam, man rakibaha naja, he says, whoever boarded that ark was saved from the effects of the flood. Today too, whoever will board on the ship of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be saved. And وَمَنْ تَخَلَّفَ عَنْهَا هَلَكَ Those who remain behind, those who never boarded that ark, even the son of Nuh alayhi salam, who felt like, you know, he'll make a plan, he said, no, سَآوِي إِلَى جَبَلِي يَعْصِمُنِي مِنَ الْمَا I will take refuge on a mountain which will save me from the water. But that also wasn't enough. Today people can come with modern solutions and think that maybe we can do something differently. But that is not going to save us from the waves of fitna and the flood of fitna that this dunya has been engulfed with. The only thing that will save us is by boarding on the ship of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, we find ourselves in the month of Rabi'ul Awwal, which was a very significant month in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Together with the birth of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, The sad passing away of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam occurred in this month as well. The hijrah, among the very significant events in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, also took place in the month of Rabi'ul Awwal. Initial wahi came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the month of Rabi'ul Awwal, among many other occurrences. It was a very significant month in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And therefore, many a time during this month, we might hear more about the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the importance of the sunnah is for every month of the year. But we might hear it more now. What ought to be our response? Our response has to be how we can inculcate more sunnah into our lives. Not just that the bayan was very forceful, or there were nice jokes in the bayan, or it was very, very eloquent, and it was enough entertainment for the ears. No. A believer is waiting that every new sunnah he wants to implement in his life. This is something I haven't practiced on before, and the Mawlana shared this on the minbar or from the musalla. Let me implement it in my life. In the dunya, it depends which sphere of life a person finds himself in. Somebody has an affinity for food, for example, then he hears of some new item on the market. The butchers are doing something new. So as soon as he hears about it, does he suffice with this hearing? No, he wants to acquire it. It's a new type of steak, or a new type of bologna, or sausage, or whatever it may be. When he hears about it, he wants to go for it. Somebody who is, you know, likes technology, for example, he hears of some new technology that can benefit him in his life, or for entertainment, or in his business, he wants to acquire it. He doesn't just stop by hearing about it. When it comes to clothing, or shoes, whatever it may be in life, when we hear about these updates, so to say, that we were inaccessible to us previously, now that we can access it, we want to access it. This should be a believer's outlook towards ilm and amal and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-hikmatu dhallatu al-mu'min. Wisdom and good, to be inculcate good in our life, is something we ought to be looking for all the time. Like when somebody loses something, somebody misplaced his car keys, so how he would be looking for it? That's his only concern, that he wants to find the keys. Or somebody misplaced his shoes, etc. Like that, this riwayah mentions that wisdom, good practices, these are things that a believer ought to be looking for. And whenever you will find it, you pick it up and you take it, meaning you make amal on it. Imam Abu Uthman al-Hiri rahimahullah was a senior alim of his time, living in Iran. One day for Isha Salah, he came to the masjid wearing an ihram, two pieces of cloth, the upper wrap and the lower wrap. So there was another imam in the masjid, an alim, senior alim, who used to have a dars of hadith in that masjid. So he asked his father, that has Abu Uthman made ihram, made intention for Hajj or Umrah? Why is he wearing ihram? And they were far away in Iran. So the father says that Abu Uthman attends my dars of hadith after Maghrib. And he has a habit that if he hears any sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he didn't practice on before, then he tries to implement it within the next 24 hours. Within the next 24 hours, the earliest, you know, munasabah and opportunity to practice on it, he practices. And after Maghrib, we did the hadith, and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam salla fi thawbain. That on some occasions, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read salat wearing only two pieces of cloth. In other words, like an ihram, a lower wrap and an upper wrap. So in between the dars, when the dars finished, before Isha, he went home and he changed, so he can make amal on this sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam immediately. He's not going for Hajj or Umrah, but to the shauq in implementing the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This has to be the mindset of every believer. And if you look in the lives of the seniors, from the Sahaba, Tabi'un, the Ulama, people in our Zamana as well, that zeal for learning, the zeal for implementing what we have learned, what we heard. Once there was a youngster who used to attend the lessons of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, and he would ask a lot of questions. So one day Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha asked him, Ya Bunayya, O my son, have you practiced on all these things you're asking me? So many ahadith you heard, so many sunnahs you would have come across. Is this in your practical life? So the youngster replied, no. So then she tells him, لِمَ تَسْتَكْثِرُ مِنْ حُجَجِ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ. Why you are allowing Allah's arguments against you to increase, Allah's proof against you. In other words, the more you know and the less you practice, this is going to be a proof against you in the day of Qiyamah. The more you know, the more you're supposed to practice. My Ustad, Sheikh Muhammad Awama, Hafizahullah, always mentions from among the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is after Fajr Salah every day to read this dua. Allahumma inni as'aluka ilman nafi'a wa rizqan tayyiba wa amalan mutaqabbala. As Umm Salama radiallahu anha reports, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make this dua every morning after Fajr. This is a dua we all need at all times. And every morning, so to say, to fashion the mind and to set the mindset of this believer, that now you're going to go out after Salah into the dunya. You're going to be exposed to a lot of different types of information. We're asking Allah, Allahumma inni as'aluka ilman nafi'a. Oh Allah, bless me with that knowledge that's going to benefit me. Then, وَعَمَلًا وَرِزْقًا طَيِّبًا, and pure and wholesome sustenance. Everybody goes out in the dunya thereafter from the morning to seek his sustenance. It must be pure, it must be halal, must be wholesome. وَعَمَلًا مُتَقَبَّلًا, and practice amal that is accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ilm is not where we stop. The dua starts with ilm. But at the end, we ultimately have to reach amal. Whatever we know, we have to be practicing upon it. Shaykh Hafizahullah mentions, many people get stuck at the first level, and they think that knowledge is the goal. لَيْسَ الْعِلْمُ هُوَ الْغَايَةِ إِنَّمَا هُوَ الْوَسِيلَةِ. Knowledge is the means. The goal, الْغَايَةُ هُوَ الْعَمَلُ. The goal is amal, to practice on that knowledge. And this is not just for a student in the Darul Uloom. All of us sitting here today, and whenever we attend any lecture, we are actually students of the speaker. We are learning from the Imam, from the Mawlana, from the Shaykh, that is speaking to us. So the habit should be that when I hear something, I want to practice upon it immediately, inshallah, in my life. My beloved father, rahimahullah, had this habit within himself also and impressing on those around him. Within himself as well. If he heard of something that didn't occur to him before as a sunnah or something good that we can practice upon, then he would remind us at home that let us do this. The next morning he would ask us. And he would impress it on the next man. That if somebody, for example, came to the masjid with no topi, so then he would advise him to wear his topi. And then if the person habitually came with no topi, then sometimes he would give the topi to him. So now he is impressing on him. Then he would give him the topi. And the next day if he came without the topi, then again he would question him, that, "Bhai, you never had. I gave you now where is it?" In other words, once we know, there's no excuse for us to shy away from amal and practice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all tawfiq. Alhamdulillah.